So I was leaving to go to work. A girl came up and told me that her friend was in trouble on the beach. So I just ran down to see if I could help out. And when I got there, her friends were standing around the hole just digging. So I just jumped in and started digging as well. And just kept at it. And we were just digging with our hands first because there was no shovels there. And then more locals arrived and they all helped out. I knew that her friends would have been wrecked from digging, so I just jumped in because I was fresh and started digging. And just kept at it until I couldn't dig anymore and left someone else in.
How long was the girl buried in the sand for, do you reckon?
I reckon half an hour at least. The sand just kept caving in, so it took that long to get her out.
And I understand there was a huge response from the local community. People arrived with shovels, is that right?
Yeah, just loads of people turned up. But I didn't have time to look around to see how many was there or whatever, but there was a good few.
To me, you seem very stunned by it all still.
Yeah, I suppose it was, I'm wrecked as well. My muscles are aching, just gave it all.
And could you tell, her friends must have been very distressed when they approached you first?
Well, yeah, but I didn't actually realise how serious it was until I got there.
And what did you see?
Just saw her friends standing around what looked like a hole, but you couldn't see anybody, and they were just digging, you know, it was just a caved in hole.
How deep was the hole?
I reckon about 6 feet. But I don't know how much sand would have been on top for probably 3 feet, but it kept caving in, so you take away one shovel, but it just had to fill in again. You just couldn't see anything, you know, it was just sand.
Just a few hundred metres from the sand dune is a grotto. May is the month of devotion to the Virgin Mary in the Catholic Church. All this month, local people have come to the grotto each evening to pray to and honour Mary. Last evening they gathered as usual, but on this occasion they prayed for Niamh McCarthy. Not far from the grotto is the house where Niamh and her friends were staying in. This man, who didn't want to be named, lived right next door to them.
Everyone in the area really is hugely saddened, and it genuinely is very traumatic for everyone, you know. This is just a fun area and people come to really enjoy themselves, and this particular group were just, you know, having a life and soul party, coming together after college. So it genuinely is. It's everyone, all the neighbours here are just hugely hurt by this. They genuinely are, you know.
And everyone's praying that she may pull through.
Yeah, everyone.
And when one hears about an accident happening at the beach, one automatically thinks of water, not sand.
Oh yeah, that's right. And when you think that every kid that ever came to the Maharees has rolled down these hills.
We're on the line with Independent Deputy Michael Healy-Ray about the 3,636 votes that were cast from a phone or phones, we don't know which, inside in Leinster House for the Celebrity Go Wild competition, which he won a number of years ago, costing the taxpayer €2,639. And Deputy Healy-Ray, can you guarantee the listeners this morning, your constituents, that nobody from your father's office, no secretary, no person who had access to the Oireachtas phone while you were on this competition was making those calls?
The only guarantee that I can give you, Jerry, and I'm already after stating this, and I really mean this, I was away for a week. I knew nothing of how the whole thing was being structured that week. As everybody knows, we did not know what was going on. That they're the facts, and they will be verified by the people who produced that show, if you ask them, Jerry.
Sure, and we will ask them, but the question I wanted to ask you is, have you talked to your father about this, or anyone who had access to your father's Oireachtas phone?
I
about whether they made calls
or not. Because since this came out yesterday evening, I was in the stall last night, and since this morning, I've been answering questions to the media, which is my job to do, to answer them, and as you know, I always do that in the best way I can.
Will you talk to them today and find out?
I most certainly will, Jerry.
One final question, Deputy Healy-Ray, on this matter. It's like I said, it's even for the amount of money, it's the principle, which is a much greater thing here, of taxpayers' money being used in this way. It was a great boost to your own profile. Do you feel you'll have a credibility problem out there? Listeners listening to this, they'll sit down and say, well, who possibly could have made these phone calls in the interest of getting you to win this programme? That you'll have a difficult job convincing them it was nothing to do with you, nothing to do with your father or anyone attached to your father's office in the Dáil in 2007.
Jerry, I was away for the week. I was out of complete and absolute contact with anybody. How could I know what went on around the country to raise funds or who
but
was
voting
for? But
this didn't go on around the country. It went on in the Oireachtas with taxpayers' money.
I can't answer that, Jerry. I'm not able to answer that.
And you'll ask, will you ask your father, will you talk to anyone who was working for your father in 2007 and get guarantees they had nothing to do with it?
I most certainly will. I'll be looking into all of that, Jerry.
O'clock in the morning, the cry of the baby wakes you up. You have to stumble out of the bed, half asleep, exhausted, tired, go downstairs, heat the bottle, baby in your arms, feed the baby, and that's the easy part. But then you have to try to wind the baby, and that, for me, with all of my children, was the hardest part of a soulless dark night. You have to keep in mind that you are knackered, and that's the word I would use. You are knackered from lack of sleep, and you are talking to the baby like it's a grown human being, a raw baby, as my mammy would say, pleading it, beseeching it, begging it, and occasionally, because you were so tired, getting cross with the baby and saying, come on, now, come on, please, now, do it. While at the same time not trying to wake your wife, who's thankfully asleep. As a husband and wife, we may have probably not done it the best way. I don't know, is there a right way? Something brand new, you nearly both get up at the same time, which is daft, and it, you know, after a while you learn that, right, it's your turn to do it. But I found that very, very difficult. I don't know, is it maternal instinct or whatever, but she didn't find that same difficulty as I did. And I used to get probably, typical male, frustrated more easily. Maybe she had the knack for it. You'd be at home feeding the baby in the evening, and you'd be trying in desperation or more out of pity, maybe she'd take the child off me. And in a few minutes, you'd hear the magic noise. And so there's a sense of jealousy and envy there by me as well. But there is no better sound than when the baby actually finally burps. That sound is just heavenly. That's the magic sound. It's like the final whistle after a cup final, after scoring the goal, or, you know, after Kerry winning All-Ireland. That's, you know, the final sound. That's the sound that, you know, professional sportsmen aim for, that sound. And fathers, especially fathers of newborn children, especially first-time fathers of newborn children, that's the sound they aim for. That's the magic sound. Advice about burping a child: don't get frustrated. It'll happen, you know, it will come when they're ready to let it off.
Sounds that matter the most. Radio Kerry.
The first few months were horrendous, because I think the way the outlook for me was that mentioning of suicide seems a dirty word, but at the end of the day, it was a child in an adult body that died. I was his mother, and people actually kind of isolated themselves away from us rather than calling.
Really?
Oh, definitely. That's how I would have seen it. I think maybe four people would have called to my home in the first 12 months.
Four people?
Four people, that would have been it.
And were you shocked by that?
I actually cried with that, because I thought it was so sad. Maybe for someone just to come up and say, would they have a cup of tea with us, or how are we doing today? The conversation wouldn't have been good, because I would have spent a lot of days looking out the window, looking at the concrete blocks in the wall, counting them for months. But I was lucky enough to be put in contact with a man called Kenneth Lennon from Castle Island. He would have been a suicide counsellor, and I definitely maintain that thanks to his help, we're still here today and we're coping.
Yeah.
And I would use the word coping on a daily basis.
Is it a fear? Are people afraid of suicide? They're afraid to call to a house because they don't understand it and therefore they're afraid of it.
I really don't know. Because I know since my own son died, the amount of young fellas that has actually done the same thing, and I would actually go to their door, I'd sit outside the car and I'd say, what can I say to them? I'd do for them what I would have liked somebody to do for me. I would knock at the door and say, would you like to have a cup of tea?
In summing up, Judge Cara Moran acknowledged that Martinolo did not intend that Stephen Lyne be killed and was not directly responsible for his death on June 18th, 2009. He said Stephen lost his life in a needless attack consequent to a false allegation of rape of which he was completely innocent. Now, afterwards, the Lyne family hugged each other and Lottie Lyne, Stephen's mother, said she had no ill feelings towards Martinolo.
We had hoped that the verdict would eventually be the last missing piece, bringing justice for us in our son's murder case. And in some small way, we do feel that has happened. Over the course of the trial, the fullness of the truth has come out. Our son has been totally vindicated from the untruths, fabrications and lies that were said about him. People have admitted their guilt, their involvement, and they have had to live with the consequences of their actions for the rest of their lives. We are glad that the real truth emerged, and we are very thankful for all the hard work that the Gardaí have carried out to establish that truth. And our family has changed, and nothing will ever be the same again. There is an empty place, whatever we do and wherever we go. It is there, and nothing can fill it. The emptiness is like a jigsaw with a piece missing, and nothing will ever finish that empty picture. That precious piece was taken and destroyed violently and needlessly and forever. What was done on that night can never ever be undone or unchanged. Stephen is gone from us forever.
I brought it over to Valencia because of the rugged land and of the erosion of the land. And the second reason I brought it here is when I built this instrument, I was searching for an ancient sound, like the sound of the earth. And this particular spot, it gave me this feeling. So that's why I put it up here.
Okay. And that's because of the acoustics are very good. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. And it is the horn is pointed at a mountain. So when I play loudly, you can hear the echo from the mountain.
Oh.
Back, yeah.
Okay. And what's the instrument called, Andy?
It's the Rheinhorn.
Is the instrument near you now, Andy?
Yes, it is behind me.
Would it be possible for you to play a little bit and I could record it? Or would that? Do you think that might work?
Yes, it is possible. I will ask someone to hold the phone in front of
okay.
In front of the instrument.
Perfect, I can wait, no problem.
Okay, one moment.
Thank you.
Was that enough?
That was perfect. It sounds like a whale.
It does it? And that is also one reason it is set up here. I wanted to try to communicate with whales.
Some comments coming into us on the presidency and on the line. Indeed, we have Mary Buckley, who's from Rathcoole in North Cork, lives in the Kerry Diocese, of course. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry.
Now, what's your view on the presidency?
Well, I saw in the whole Dana got into the act last night. I think it's a joke at the stage.
Really?
And I said, with her song, All Kinds of Everything, it's all kinds of everyone now for the doll.
We've got eight so far.
And I think I'm going to throw my hat in the ring.
You think?
Oh, I think I will.
You think you should run?
I think I should run, yeah.
Well, fair
and
play.
I think Micheál Martin should back me.
I think you should,
yeah.
If you get maybe the nomination from 20 Fianna Fáil
members.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I want now.
Why do you think you're qualified, Mary?
Well, I'm kind of a semi-retired farmer's wife.
Right.
I know about health cuts.
Yeah.
And I know about education cuts.
Yes.
And while that shout about the dollar having steak, our crowd down here, my mehl, are having mince.
Well,
so, like,
having
I know how to live on a breadline.
Well, they're having steak, you're having mince.
Yes.
You see yourself as one of the ordinary struggling people of Ireland?
Yeah, I know how to live on the breadline, and I have plenty of practice now for the last 33 years, so I think I'm fully qualified to go.
Yeah, well, listen, look, it's you're as qualified as anyone else, I suppose, who's looking for it.
Yeah, I am, you see, and that's why I think I'd be good for Micheál Martin. He can't make up his mind about who he wants at the moment, and I think I'm the woman for it.
Yeah, there's a lot of indecision amongst them up there, Mary.
There's a lot of what?
There's a lot of indecision amongst them. They don't know what they're doing.
Yes, and that's why I'm running. And I don't want that big wage because there's no need for it. I never had it. I never wanted it. So I don't want it now.
Yeah. Well, what sort of a wage would you take?
Well, I'm a farmer's wife. I had never had a wage. If I never married my husband and had seven children, I was living in a gold mine, sitting in a gold mine. But yeah. I did marry him and I went the right way about it. So I never got anything for nothing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think I know how to run this country.
Yeah. Well, you run a household budget,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, and none of them hungry, and they're out there now. I have four teachers, one of them unemployed. I have a mechanic, I have a farmer. I haven't put through college. I never asked for a penny from anyone, done it myself, never got a grant. So I do know how to run this place.
You've never had the handout?
I never got a handout from anyone. Never once.
Yeah.
So I think I know how to do it, and I know how to get the unemployed off the bloody dole. I would give him the dole, but I wouldn't give it him for nothing. I'd make him work for it.
As we all know, in the town of Tralee and the outskirts of Tralee, the infestation that occurred last week and the admission by Kerry County Council that it came from a problem at the landfill at Muingham and Ann, I believe that I asked last night that we get a report back from the County Council on how it happened and how they're going to prevent this happening again, because as a lot of people are aware, that in Tralee, that an awful lot of businesses in the town lost money, especially food businesses, trying to cover their food and throwing out food that had been contaminated with flies. I also believe the hospital had major problems with the fly infestation, trying to keep flies off elderly patients and ill patients. I'd also, in the town myself, witnessed food establishments trying to cover bread and things without much success. And a lot of food stuff had to be thrown out afterwards, and it cost an awful lot of money to an awful lot of businesses in the town, and an awful lot of headaches for people with small kids and things in houses in Tralee.
Was there a lot of anger out there? Do you think that this could have been preventable?
Well, I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't heard much anger, but people are bewildered that it happened and how it could happen and that can it happen again. And my point last night was, if it was a private business running this, that the County Council would be down top of them like a ton of bricks. And I believe that we need more answers from the County Council that this can never happen again. Because, as I said, it was... it's not a nice thing to have flies crawling over foodstuffs in the town of Tralee or in people's homes, especially elderly people who would not be able to look after and clean their house as well as fit young people. I was also in a restaurant on Bank Holiday Monday in the town where people had scones and buns and things, and they could not keep the flies off them. And this was maybe 4 or 5 days after the initial fly infestation.
So you think the council still has questions to answer?
I do, Deirdre, because this could happen again, and who's to say this isn't going to happen again next year or next month? And it does cause an awful lot of problems for people like that work in the health service, in the hospital. It's not fair on them. They have had enough job to do to keep the hospital clean and without this thing occurring. And it's disgusting for families of patients to see their loved ones trying to keep flies off them in a hospital in 2012. It's not acceptable.
4-2, the latest score here, and we are 6 minutes away from the halftime break and a cracking opening half in this All-Ireland Junior semi-final. This ball has gone loose for once from Jerry Trisk. Is it kept in play? It's not. He was gone out. Now he's definitely gone out. And now, to be fair, your man is making a right meal and a bust up.
They're at
a punch up. A massive punch up has started.
And the supporters.
The supporters have come out. The selectors
terrible,
are involved.
That's terrible. And there's a Drummond man isolated inside in the middle of him, the number 5, Dinna Shine, and he's getting a right pelting at the moment.
A massive punch-up has erupted here. They have come out from the stands.
That's totally wrong. The subs running out, jumping out over the hoarding. It's, right on.
It started again. Declan O'Sullivan has been thrown in over the hoarding. This is ridiculous. Now,
I tell you, it's all Jerry Trist side. You have to be fair. There's no Drummond subs running onto that field, Gary.
No.
It's all the Jerry Trist side.
There is not one Drummond sub on there. Selectors got involved. Subs got involved. Now the stewards have arrived. when the dinner has been eaten.
Well, it's too late, and I tell you, they stood well back as well. And you see guys jumping the fence like they'd be jumping fences in the Grand National, trying to get out to get involved with players. That's totally ridiculous, Gary.
Well, if the referee is going to give red cards here, Tim, he could give about 10 of them. He's calling Dinna Shine O'Sullivan and he's calling Joseph McKee. Now, if he gives the two red here, it's a ridiculous scenario because there could be reds given in here. There was punches left, right and centre. Two yellows. Well, again, sensible refereeing, I will say.
Well, I think I have to compliment him on two decisions in the last 5 minutes, but I tell you, there'll be plenty of talk and plenty of writing done after this game, and that was horrible to see, Gary.
Now, as was announced last November by Minister for Social Protection, Joan Burton, a clampdown on social welfare fraud was going to be engaged in. New records were going to be cross-checked and thousands of inspections were going to be carried out across the country to stamp out any incidents of fraud. But it's come to our attention here that inspectors have been operating in Kerry like every other county across the country. But an issue has arisen in relation to inspections and interviews of people with intellectual disabilities. And on the line, we've got Pat Horan, who is chairman of Down Syndrome Ireland, the Kerry branch of Down Syndrome Ireland. Pat, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you this morning?
Not too bad, not too bad. Now, Pat, can you just explain exactly what the situation is here? It had come to our attention that there was interviews carried out with people with Down syndrome, and there are some issues arising out of how those inspections were done.
Yes, Jerry. I think the issue arose because we have adults employed in our coffee shop in Deanock Lodge. And the important thing is to point out that the families do not have any problem with the inspectors doing their work, and they realise that this has to be done and that the family members were invited to participate in the interviews. But they felt that some of the questions being directed at the adults, and this would be any adult with an intellectual disability, were unsuitable. Can I give you some of the questions involved?
You can.
First of all, the first question was, is the disability a result of a compensation claim for injury? Now, to the families, that was the most insulting one, because
that question, just so I understand that, now we make it clear for listeners, that question was asked of a person with Down syndrome.
With Down syndrome. Which is, you were born with Down syndrome, right? That was the first thing. The second question was, have you transferred property in order to claim the disability allowance? Now, you see, regretfully, this brings us on to a higher issue, which is that adults with Down syndrome are non-compos mentis, which means that technically under Irish law, they're insane. So the line of questioning for any adult with an intellectual disability, be it mental health issues, Down syndrome, even autism, the line of questioning was totally, totally wrong.
Spanish Battleship was a truly amazing dog, but his career didn't go without controversy. Sometime after his Tour Derby win, claims were made that the Battleship was a ringer, which means there was identical dogs used to race under the same name. The story goes that in order to prove if the Battleship was genuine, a vet that had previously stitched a wound on the dog was to examine him, and he would be able to recognise his own handiwork. The day before the examination was due to take place, Chubb was back in Killorglin, walking the dog along the Leon River. The Battleship managed to slip his lead, and he jumped into the river. Unfortunately, Chubb couldn't manage to rescue him, and the body was never recovered. Well, I'm pretty sure it's just folklore, but the legend of the Battleship lives on.
In previous programmes, we've captured live mammals and studied them before releasing them back into the wild.
Yeah, I got an open trap with a mouse in it.
Yeah.
This could be good.
That's it. She wants to go up your arm. She thinks you're a tree. Or a shrub.
They like dark places, so they tend to run up people's sleeves.
Okay, go to the next person.
Oh, he's really soft.
He's lovely and soft, isn't he?
He's very soft and he sort of tickles your hand when he walks around.
And we've even made our own elderflower cordial. Delicious.
Oh, that is nice.
Excuse me now,
that
mister.
Is seriously nice.
Delicious. Best I've ever tasted.
I think that's really brilliant. I need a jug full of this.
We're about to start the ecology orienteering. And this is a competition.
Bet you didn't get a harvest man.
Oh, we did. We got 5 harvest men. And we've got millipedes and centipedes and what else we get?
Spider
lice, wood lice.
Oh yeah, we'll wait until the results.
Yeah, we'll be hiding in shame.
Some other teams are talking big, so I want to see the evidence.
Another fine dinner. Cheers to the chef.
Cheers.
And cheers to our boys at war in Europe.
Cheers.
If it's not over already. They said it wouldn't last beyond Christmas, didn't they?
Let's hope they were right.
Well, if it is still on when we get home, we'd get the chance to join the effort and then...
And on what? And fight for king and country? I wouldn't be so quick to die so a couple of kings can see who's the strongest. But they can't fight like men, so they have to play the working men up.
Right, men, we're abandoning ship. Queen, Frankie, get the men unloading supplies onto the ice on the double. Priority is the food and tents. And make sure every man has his warm clothing.
Of course we'll help you, Santa. This is Radio Kerry, and they're adding too many places in Kerry we don't know. So, take a deep breath there and don't worry. Tell us what you can see now.
I can see water and boats and some islands. And there are signs written in Irish.
OK, children of Kerry, are you ready to help?
I can see something. I think it's a dolphin.
That's no ordinary dolphin. That's Fungi. And if there ever was a dolphin to see you, right, it's Fungi. You're in the Dingle Peninsula or Dangany Coast. Swoop down a bit and get behind the dolphin's tail.
OK, did you hear that, reindeers? Now steady, don't hit the water. We don't want to be delivering soggy presents. OK, slow and steady now. We're just above the water. We don't want soggy presents for all the boys and girls like Oisin and Fionn O'Dowd in Dingle and Ronan and Emer O'Connor in Menard East now, do we?
OK, Fungi, I know you listen to Radio Kerry. Can you hear us? I know this isn't a sight you were expecting tonight, but don't worry, they know you are Dingle's most famous animal, and they're only passing through. Do you think you could lead them ashore?
Whoa! We're off! Do you know I thought reindeers were the only way to go, but if I ever had to look at a water-based sleigh, dolphins could be the job, all right. Thank you, Fungi. Now I have Dingle and the West Kerry area in sight. Ho, ho, ho! Slán tamall, bye may arash. I won't be able to deliver presents for a little while yet, but while I work up a bit of power, could I trouble you a little bit more?
Of course. There can't be any more important job than this tonight. We're at your service. Whatever you want is Federling.
Oh, I know Tralee is just a bit in. I've been going there so many years, but maybe I could just double check.
We can sort that one out for you straight away, Santa. I'm here in the Radio Kerry studio in Tralee, and I'm going to turn on the lights. Children, if any of you are around Tralee, can you help me out? I know I shouldn't be asking you to get out of bed on Christmas Eve, but if you can turn off and on the light in your bedroom for just 1 second, if we all do it at the same time, Santa will see us. Are you ready? 3 2 1
Whoa, what a sight! I can see Luke Kira and Amy O'Mahony's house. I can see the Cantwell's house, the Hurleys and Farmer's Bridge.
This person was leafing through the programme when she came across Shane Enright from Tarbert's Claire's profile. And again, nothing out of the ordinary there. But the listener goes on to say, I was a little shocked to read that when asked what was the best ever invention, Shane answered, a condom. And the listener poses the question, is this really a suitable answer for a profile in a GAA programme? And I said, well, let's give the man himself the opportunity to reply.
At the time, I think it was actually Contraception Awareness Week up in the college in UCC, and they were handing over condoms and stuff all around college. So when we came in after training, I think it was just sort of on my mind. When I saw the question, it was sort of on my mind, and that's why I wrote it down. But looking back, maybe I was probably a bit naive, and I didn't realise, this. It might affect other people when they saw it. But the main thing is I didn't mean to upset anyone, you know?
Because I suppose reading it, people might have said, you might have just said it off the top of your head and might have said it to for a laugh or whatever, but it turns out that you were genuine in your comment. It wasn't something flippant.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was starting a logical offensive because trying contraception awareness is such an important thing.
And as a Kerry footballer, do you mind the weight that it carries? You know, when you say you might make a comment and think no more of it, that people pay more attention to what you say because of the position you're in.
Yeah, exactly. I realise that exactly. But Joe, at the time, I probably should have thought about it, that the children would be reading this and the parents might want their young children exposed to that. But like, I didn't mean to offend anyone, and so I was just sort of, like I was saying, the contraception awareness was on my mind, and just so I put it down.
Here are a few of your comments. One person says that his answer is a sad one, that he's a teacher and God help our children. Another person said that what Shane said was pure childish. Another texter says, Shane Enright, is it not better that a condom is mentioned and promoted rather than unprotected sex resulting in teenage pregnancies and the spread of STDs? So in favour of what Shane said. And another texter, Marion, in fact, says, I am a grandmother and think that the footballer was right. Condoms were the best invention ever. Pity they were not invented sooner.